Church 5.
Listening time is approximately 14 minutes.
So we got the Sardis Church, and that's found in Revelation chapter 3, verse 1.
Chapter 3. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches."
Can you come up with a general characteristic of that church?
The dead church.
Okay, the dead church. What is the verse that really gives that? He talks about them becoming what? Waking up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reputation of being alive, but you are dead.
So there's no doubt as to what kind of church that is. Now, what he's speaking of here is spiritual. This is spiritual dead. So to be spiritually dead, what would you be doing? Let's take a look at some key words here and then see what we can come up with. What are the key words in this, key phrases? Clothed in white, Book of Life, and Book of the Lamb. Now, it didn't say Book of the Lamb, but I'm going to talk about it. Clothed in white. What do you think that refers to?
Purity.
Okay, purity. What else?
Set aside.
And what's the biblical word for set aside?
Holy.
Holy. Consecrated. Let's look up some cross references here. Ecclesiastes 9:8. And then Mark 16:5, Revelation 4:4, and Revelation 7:9, and Revelation 19:14. Anointed with oil is an indication of being consecrated, so it's being consecrated, set apart for the Lord, only to be used for the things that will glorify the Lord. Okay, what about in Mark 16:5. What is that in reference to? It's the context of that. Who are they speaking about?
The person in the white robe would probably be Jesus.
Right. It was after the
resurrection.
So there's giving this appearance of what his glorified body was, that in the white robe. It's very interesting because that is also going to be our eternal clothing. How about Revelation 4:4?
And upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments, and golden crowns on their heads.
So there we have reference to a future time. How about 7:9, Revelation?
After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and languages, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands.
So it's a future thing as well. They're standing before the Lamb. Remember when you are reading symbolic things, substitute the word. So standing before Jesus or the Lord.
Right.
19:14. Again, it's future, but we're tying the present with the future and the past.
The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean.
So in general, we could say that this symbolizes a change, a consecration, righteousness, purity. What's the reference then to this church? What's the context? Is the church totally dead?
No.
Not at this point. If they don't heed the letter and come alive, they probably will eventually. We have people in this church that haven't sold their garments. So that is symbolic of people that haven't what? Moved away from the truth of Scripture. Hopefully they're in leadership. We don't know that. That's the concept there. There are some people there. But then what about the other people? What's the other word on your list? Book of life. Now let's go and take a look at the books. Our references are going to be Revelation 5, 8, and 13, 8, and 21, 27.
And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints.
Let's give you a little context here. 13, 8.
And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain.
What does that mean? They're going to worship the beast. Thou substitute the word. They're going to worship who? Satan. And all whose names have not been written in the book of life, belonging to the Lamb, belonging to
Jesus.
Let's take the last one, and then we'll go back. 21, 27. Nothing impure will ever enter it. Referring to what? Enter what? Eternity. Nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those, see, it's the opposite of the other verse. See, that's showing those that aren't good, and all this is those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, I'm going to present something that you may not agree with. But in the judgment, we do read, and the books were opened. Here's where we got to go with this. It's plural, books. Now, is that because there's so many names in the Book of the Lamb, or the Book of Life, see, they're calling it, that there are just a lot of volumes to the same thing? I don't think so. I think there are two books. The, not a book, but the book of life, and the book of the Lamb. Why is it Lamb first? Let's go to Lamb. Why Lamb? Lamb is associated with the Lord in his sacrifice. Right. He's the Passover Lamb. So this has something to do with the crucifixion. So the people that are in the Book of the Lamb are people who are
believers in
Jesus. Right. Or we could say they are saved. They have eternal life. The people in the Book of Life are all those who have been given life. He says, I knew you before the foundations of the world. So there's a book, and when a person is given life, that their name is in that book. So in the Book of the Life, I believe all names are written. Because remember the verse that says, and I will blot you out of my book? That's why people have taken it and said, see, you can lose your salvation. That's why another reason I believe there are two books is that there's no way you can lose your salvation. You got it as a gift. God is not a gift stealer. If you are saved, where will your name appear? In which book? In both. It's not been blotted out. There's a point to when a name is blotted out because the Lord knows there's still going to be no salvation and their name is blotted out. So when it comes to the end, the two books are compared. The books are open, they're compared, and your name is going to be in both. It's like a cross-reference. Not that God makes mistakes, but it's like a check and balance. Because people are going to come. If you read the White Throne Judgment, they come before the Lord. Now, this is a judgment of the damned. They don't know it. The second death is coming. The White Throne Judgment and the Bema Judgment, B-E-M-A Judgment. Paul used that because the Bema seat's in Corinth. And there's an analogy to that. After the Isthmian Games, they came down from the stadium, and they were presented on this platform called the Bema and rewarded first, second, third, or whatever, and were given their rewards. So the Bema is a reward judgment. for the believers only. There are the two judgments, there are the two books. Once you grasp that, everything starts to fall in place.
Now, in the two books called the Book of Life, and that is the unbelievers and the Book of...
No. When this starts, the Book of the Lamb did not appear until the cross. There could be no Book of the Lamb. At the beginning of time was when this Book of Life, creation, that's when the book of that book was there. All names are in the book. As a person doesn't get saved, their name is blotted out or erased. There's no record of it appearing. It's not crossed off, it's blotted out. So when they come to the white throne judgment, when you read white throne judgment, it's white throne because it's righteous, it's Christ. It means that everything is judged perfectly. There are no errors. They come and say all these things. Oh, but I've prayed in your name, I've healed in your name. Remember that verse? And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Why? Because your name's not in the book. Well, of course he did know them, but you understand what he means by never. You're not, okay. So these two books, at the very end of the time for the judgment takes place, are going to be exactly the same. Because all names are there, and then they start getting blotted out. If your name is blotted out, it won't be here. It won't be in this one. If you're still living, and your name has to be here in this one, if you're still living, only the saved people are in both. So as long as you still have life and receive Christ, then your name's not blotted out and it's put over here. So names are added here. Names are deleted over here. They're all in there to start with, and then the deletion takes place. There's nothing in here, and then they start adding. You may not accept it. Some Bible teachers say, no, there's only one book. It's just that there's several volumes. Well, why does God have to carry around a million volumes or something? You know what I mean? It just doesn't make sense. I think the reason that he says, and the books were open. Well, sure, because there's a cross-reference. So when somebody comes up here and argues their case, your name's not here. Well, first it's not here. Well, it's not here, but maybe it's up here. No, it's not here either. But your name's not there, so you're not even acknowledged. There are some alive people in the church. That you have a reputation for being alive, but that you are dead. You can have a church that has great lively music, they're doing all kinds of things. Doesn't mean they're sitting around doing nothing. It's probably another word that we could use is a country club church. We have a lot of those today. They like to get together in fellowship, and that's their main focus. And they got a lot of programs going sometimes and activities. They got everything going but the gospel. And they're self-consuming. It's for them. I read about a church that wanted to minister to the yuppies. So he said a regular church, they wouldn't like it. So they rented a motel, kind of a reception room in a motel, and they thought it'd be less threatening to come there than to church. And then they started off with a cocktail party. And then they had their worship service. But that's a dead church. The church is God. It's his church. It's not our church. We are blessed to be part of the church, but Christ is the head. It's his church. He is the groom. We're the bride. That picture is in Revelation. You got to understand that, the relationship there.